Anyway, what a journey it has been. Amen. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and now Joshua. And 3 years it took us to do that. But praise God. So we're in Joshua 24 tonight, where Joshua is at the end of his life and about to go to heaven. And Israel has not completed, it's okay, brother, has not completed their mission, if you will, to finish going into the promised land. So we begin at verse 1, and I'll just say this, in these first 12 verses, look, 13 verses, look for the word I. See if you notice it a few times, because it drives home a great point. So it says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight, speak to us from your word, and teach us and grow us. And may we again be reminded how good you've been to us. And may we strive, like Joshua, to serve you, our families, all that we are. So have your will in our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were tracking, 17 times in those first 13 verses is the word I. Now, sometimes I is not a good thing, but in this case, it's a good thing because it's God speaking. Amen. And when we read about the devil in Isaiah 14, there's a lot of I's in there too, aren't there? I want to be like the Most High. I want this. Those aren't good I's. That's pride. That's the devil wanting God's position. But this is God Almighty, the God of heaven, Jehovah, recounting for Israel what he did for them. And often men were involved in these things, but God is saying, I was always in control. I did all of this. And of course, he starts way back with Abraham and works his way all the way through to them entering the promised land and taking Jericho. It's never a bad thing to just stop and reflect and review all the good things God has done for us. Amen? Because he's always been so good. Every one of us, if we would just stop and think about it, as we sing, Count Your Many Blessings, we could do that very thing. We could just stop and say, you know, When I look back over my Christian life, God has been so good to me. And that's what he's asking them to do. I want you to stop. I want you to think how kind I have been, how good I have been to the nation of Israel. And yes, I allowed you to go into Egypt, but I also delivered you from Egypt and now brought you over to the promised land. But never forget, God did it all. Amen? We never as Christians have a place to say, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look what I have. No, it's always look what God did. Look what God accomplished. Look what God gave me. It's all about perspective. And he wants them to have this right perspective that he did it. And by the way, that's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world, isn't it? We're going to heaven because of what God did, not because of what we have done or have tried to do. Our salvation is a gift. It's based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But God did it. God did it all. He saved us through Jesus. He gave us eternal life. He gave us his presence. He promised us as we're joint heirs with Christ. He promised us a home in heaven. He did it all. And so never allow the devil to trick you into stopping and thinking, look what I did, or look what I am, or look what I want. That's just pride. Like we read about in Isaiah 14 to the devil. So God says, I've done all these things for you. Verse 14, now therefore, because I've brought you to this point as a nation through all of these trials, here you are. You're finally in this land that I promised you. Here's what I want from you. Number one, I want you to fear the Lord. Amen. What does that mean? It means to put God first. Remember when we did our study in Proverbs, one of the main topics of Proverbs was the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, you know, it's primarily departing from and hating evil, according to Scripture. Let's look at that. Proverbs 8:13, just a couple of samples. This phrase, fear the Lord, is all through the Scriptures over and over. But just a couple of samples, Proverbs 8:13, and we'll see that fearing God means putting God and his ways first, and sin and man ways, we shun them. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's God speaking. Another one, Proverbs 16:6. It says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And then Psalms 128, if you turn there quickly. Psalms 128, verse 1. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Look at verse 4. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He says, now that you're in the promised land, here's what I want. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. When Solomon finished his book of Ecclesiastes, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's hear the conclusion of all of this bit of rambling that he had done. What? Fear God. Keep his commandments. Amen? Next to the last verse. Fear God and keep his commandments. So number one, therefore, because I've done all these things for you as a nation, because you're finally here after all of these centuries in the land that I promised Abraham, fear the Lord. Number two, verse 14, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord and serve him. How many Christians are cruising their way to heaven? They're not serving God. And by the way, watching YouTube videos is not serving God. I don't care if they are sermons. We should all study the Bible. We should all pray. That's not serving the Lord. That is doing devotions and growing your Christian life. Serving the Lord is when you take the gifts that God has imparted to you and you put them to use. That's serving the Lord. That's why he gave us the gifts. He gave us the gifts to be good stewards of the gifts, which means we are to give him an interest on his investment. Amen? By putting those gifts to use. Romans 12:11, good verse if you want to turn there. Nice and short. Romans 12:11. Romans 12 is this long passage of how to behave as a Christian. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God wants us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Look at Colossians 3:23. A lot of people know 23, but do you know 24? It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So God says to Israel, now that you're here, here's what I want. Fear me and serve me. Amen? If we would just do those two things, we'd go a long way in being where God wants us to be. But it carries on, verse 14. I want you to serve me in sincerity and in truth. In other words, I want you to be honest with me. And Psalm 15:2 is a good verse if you want to turn there. What does that mean? It means we need to be constantly honest with God about where we are. Psalms 15, verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And then, of course, Psalm 139. If you want to look there, verse 23, this is what being honest with God means. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Being willing to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal through His Word areas in our life that we still need to develop and grow for God. Or maybe things that we need to remove, like we saw last week. Don't cleave unto the remnant. So I want you to fear me, I want you to serve me, and I want you to be honest with me. Isn't that good? These are God's instructions as Joshua is about to go to heaven. To Israel, who hasn't finished taking the land, fear me, serve me, be honest with me. But he also says in verse 14, put away the gods. Put away the gods. What gods would those be? Look at 1 John 5:21. Now, we immediately picture in our minds when we read a verse like that, little idols. And God, sure enough, tells us at the end of 1 John 5, which is a beautiful epistle, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So what can be an idol to a Christian? Well, money can be an idol. Psalm 115:4, their idols are silver and gold. Things can be an idol. God says, Ephesians 5:5, covetousness, which is idolatry. Self can be an idol. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, as we saw when we walked through the commandments, God first. Amen? Nothing should take precedence over God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God says, put me first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Put away the gods. So you're here now. I want you to fear me. I want you to serve me. I want you to be honest with me. I want you to put away the gods. And then verse 15, I want you to choose. Make a choice. God or not. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Because when we are living in sin, we're not serving the Lord. We've chosen to serve someone else. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the fathers serve the one on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Choose. Choose obedience. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. Choose faith. Choose faithfulness. Choose service. Because God says stubbornness is as idolatry and iniquity. But choose. And then Joshua finishes with this very famous statement. He says, we've made our choice. Amen? And here's our choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If every Christian would make that choice, we're going to serve God. But notice the word is serve there. It's not just believe in, but serve. We will serve the Lord. You and I were saved to serve. There's some great examples in the New Testament. Let's look at a couple. Luke 4. Remember Peter's mother-in-law? So yes, Peter was married. And his mother-in-law was very ill, even unto death. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she went and rested at the hospital for 2 weeks. It doesn't say that, does it? Immediately, I love that, she arose and ministered unto them. She's the one that's literally on her deathbed. Jesus heals her and she jumps up and says, let's have dinner. I'll make it. Isn't that beautiful? I want to serve. I've been healed. I want to serve. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is another good one. Let's turn there. Well, you know, God has promised, hopefully brought us into the promised land, that we've stepped over Jordan and decided to put God first in everything and live the victorious Christian life. And now God is saying, this is what I want you to do now that you're over here. I want you to fear me. I want you to serve me. I want you to be honest with me. I want you to put away the gods, and I want you to choose me first above everything else. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work of the Lord. He wants us all to get involved in serving him by doing his work. With, again, the gifts and the strength and the time that he's given us. We read in Colossians 3:23, you serve the Lord Christ. But also look at Ephesians 2. Most Christians know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Right? Because it's part of witnessing to the lost. About salvation being a gift and not of works and so forth, right? For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, what? Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's before ordained that we who have been saved by grace through faith and not of works should what? He's before ordained that we should walk in good works. We're his workmanship. He recreated us. He regenerated us into a new creature, his child. Now what does he want us to do but walk in good works? Serve him. Serve him with all that he's imparted unto us. His own presence. And again, the gifts that he's made us stewards of. The air that we breathe. The time that he's given us. What does he want us to do? But as for me and my house, we will serve. So it's always a good thing to stop and reflect. God has been so good. Amen? God has been so good. I will remember the works of the Most High, David said in Psalm 77. I will remember. He goes through there in Psalm 77. I'll remember this. I'll remember this. I'm going to stop and remember all that God's done for me. And that's what God's saying. I want you to remember what I did for you as a nation. So now here's what I want. I want you to fear me. I want you to serve me. Amen? And I want you to be honest with me, put away anything that hinders you from being the best servant you can be. And I want you to choose me first. Choose me. And like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I keep it under control so that I can what? Put God first. Forgetting those things which are behind, Philippians 3:13. Reaching forth. Paul never said he had arrived. Paul never said he was done. He wasn't done until he was martyred. Then he had to be done. So as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are so grateful for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, even if it was just the forgiveness, it would be enough. But you always go further, and you've given us your presence. You've given us your blessings. You've given us the promise of heaven. Lord, you've imparted to us gifts, and I pray that we would put them to use, that we would fear you, Lord, that we would serve you, and Lord, we would be honest with you and put away anything that hinders us from being the best we can be, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that we might run for you. And Lord, may we, like Joshua, say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you so much for speaking to us. We love you.